You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
This evening, I want us to look together at Psalm 1, and I'll read these verses, and then we'll have a word of prayer, and we'll get into the message tonight. The Bible says in Psalm 1, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff with which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." This evening, for a few moments, I'd like us to look at this thought: a blessed life. A blessed life. Would you bow your heads with me in prayer? Lord, we need your touch. We need your power. God, there's nothing that I can say or do this evening that can work on the hearts and the lives of the people that are here. Lord, we've come this evening to hear from you, to hear from your word. God, I pray that your Holy Spirit's power would be evident as you work. God, I pray that you would help guide my thoughts, help guide my words. Lord, help me to say only that which you'd have me to say, nothing that I shouldn't. Lord, I pray that you would hide me behind the cross, that you would be magnified tonight. Use your word to do a mighty work in our lives, and we'll be sure to give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. That word blessed that we find in verse number one, blessed is the man, is the Hebrew word ashrei. It literally means happiness, or oh the happiness, or happy is the man. In the Hebrew vernacular, it is a plural of intensity, meaning that it doesn't just mean happy. It means a greater extent. It's a deep, enduring joy and spiritual prosperity. It basically means great happiness or complete well-being. The reality of it is that every single person in life today is searching for happiness, aren't they? Everyone is on a quest. Everyone is on a journey. Everyone is looking for that thing, that person, that possession to give them happiness. The sad truth is that the more they search, the more elusive it becomes, because there's no possession that can give true happiness. There is no person, human person, that can truly give happiness. There's no experience, there's no place, there's no event or hobby or thing or level of success in which someone can attain and say, I've finally achieved it, I'm happy. All of the happiness this world seeks after is circumstantial happiness. We wake up in the morning and we go outside and we see the sun shining and it's a warm day and we feel happy because the sun is shining. We go to work and we hear those words, you're getting a raise. That makes us feel happy, doesn't it? You're sitting here tonight and you're thinking, after church, I'm getting ice cream, and that makes you happy. I know it does for me. We're having the Crossroads Sunday School class over at our house, and Crossroads members, we're having ice cream, so it's okay to be a little happy tonight. I'm a little happy myself. But all of those levels of happiness are surface level happiness. They don't endure. They don't last. The reality is that all of these different ideas of happiness, they all fall short. Even as Americans, we have this idea of what prosperity and success looks like. We call it oftentimes the American dream. If I can own a house, if I can have money in my retirement account, if I can have the latest iPhone, whether it's the 14, 15, 16, 17, whatever the next one is, if I can have these things that define success, that define prosperity, then I will be happy. But we all know that's not true. Why? Because as soon as that next level iPhone comes out, oh, that's what I need. I know there's nothing better than a new number on it, but if I get that one, it will make me happy. But it doesn't, does it? What the Bible is talking about here is not a surface level happiness. The truth about happiness is that there is no real happiness outside of a relationship with God.
Amen.
That without knowing God, without experiencing that true joy of knowing that we are restored with God of the universe, without that, there is no happiness in life, no matter what you have, what you possess, or where you live. The idea of blessedness that we find in Psalm 1 is the idea of a spiritual well-being, of contentment. Not based on what we have, but contentment that is independent of our circumstances or possessions. It's favor from God, it's inner joy. And in Psalm 1 this evening, God is going to give us truth that identifies and illustrates what it means to have a blessed or a happy life. If you would look with me in Psalm 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. I believe the Bible's teaching here right off the bat that the blessed man, the happy man, is the man that separates from sinful influence. That the truly blessed person is the person who is separating themselves from sinful influences. I understand that as Christians, sometimes we get a little scared of that term separation, don't we? Because it's an attacked word. It's a ridiculed word. It is a term that we don't like to use, that the world says, oh, you Christians, you always have to be so this. You can never have any fun. You're so far out there, and we get so uncomfortable with that term. But can I remind us, child of God, that separation is a God-ordained biblical principle. It's not a man-made idea that came about in the 1950s or the 1940s. It has been here in the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation, from Thus Saith the Lord. God has always desired His people to live a separated life from the world. This idea of separation is found in here. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not. The truth is here, that as we think of the Word of God and as we search the Scriptures, we find truths such as this. In 1 John 2, verse 15 through 17, the Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, it doesn't say for some of what's in the world, for all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. The truth is that God wants us to separate from the world because everything we find in the world is anti-God. It is all humanistic. Every idea, every philosophy, every way of life is all anti-God. And so God says the blessed man, that the happy man is the one that separates himself from the influences of this world. Oftentimes, as Christians, I think we look at separation like this. If this is the world over here, we look at the world and we say, I know I'm not supposed to be the world. I know I'm not supposed to act like the world. I'm not supposed to look like the world. I'm not supposed to talk like the world and dress like the world. And so if this is the world, I need to be one step away. And as long as I am one step away, then I am separated from the world. But here's the problem with that mindset, is that the world is always waxing worse and worse and worse. And so as it drifts farther and farther away, we are caught looking at the world always one step away. But God doesn't teach that we are to separate from the world by looking at the world and keeping our distance. No. The Word of God teaches that we are to look toward Christ, that He is our example. He is the one we are called to follow, and that as we pursue after Jesus Christ, as we walk in His Word, and as we allow the Holy Spirit to do a work in our hearts and lead us and guide us, and as we follow after Him, becoming more like Him, we get farther and farther and farther away from the world to the point where we are separate. Where the world looks at us and says, yeah, you folks are a little bit strange that you don't do what you do. But can I say that when we live separated lives, it allows the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ to shine in the darkness of this world. Blessed is the man that separateth from the influence of the world. I find a progression, and you've heard this before. This is not a new truth, but it says this. There's a progression between walking, standing, and sitting. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. To walk in the counsel of the ungodly is to have a casual association with the advice, worldview, and values of the ungodly. To stand in the way of sinners is to have a lingering, observing, possibly approving pattern of the lifestyle of the sinners. To sit in the seat of the scornful means to have full participation and agreement, a settled lifestyle, which is a hardened attitude toward the righteousness of God. You say, oh, Brother Fenera, it's really not that big of a deal, that slight progression. And I can remember as a high school student, I can remember a pastor standing up here and preaching the same way he does now and saying, parents, you have to guard the influences of your children. You have to make sure that what you're watching on TV, and I remember him giving the example. He said, if I'm watching TV and there is a cuss word that comes on, we shut it off because we're not going to allow that influence into our home. We're not going to allow that influence into our lives. And I thank God for a pastor who had that stand, amen, who has that stand. Amen. It just so happened that I was dating his daughter. And I'll never forget, I was invited, I was, I think, a junior or senior in high school, and I was invited over to pastor's house, and Brother Tim was going to be there, and Brother Ryan was going to be there, and him and Tiffany were in college, and they were dating at that time, and I was invited over, and we had just purchased a new film at our home. And you'd have to understand, my family, my parents were saved out of the world and saved as a result of the church, and so if pastor said something from the pulpit, it was law. I mean, there was no wiggle room. There was not like, we can discuss this. If pastor said it, it was a done deal. And so we knew, like, we don't watch anything that is, contrary to the Word of God. We don't watch anything that's iffy. And so I'll never forget, we purchased this film, this movie. It was called Stuart Little. That little mouse, you know, that talking mouse. And it was rated PG, you know, and so I was invited over to pastor's house, and I told my girlfriend at that time, hey, we got this new film, Stuart Little. She said, oh, bring it over. And I thought, yeah, it's a child's movie, right? This should be fine. It'll be great. And we put it on, and we were sitting there, and we were watching, and it was fine. It was great. Nothing sketchy, nothing dicey, nothing like, whoa, I can't believe you're watching that. It literally was a child's movie. And as we were watching it, lo and behold, that stinking little mouse drops a word that he shouldn't have said. And I was beyond shocked. It was almost like life went into slow motion, and I was like, no. Stuart, don't do it, man. How dare you do this to me, Stewie? You're killing me. And he said a word, a cuss word, and I remember just tensing in shock. And I think an angel must have come down from heaven and somehow covered pastor's ears because he missed it. He didn't hear it. And I thought, right, Brother Tim's over there and he's laughing at me and pointing at me. And Brother Thompson's, his laugh, he's starting to laugh. And, pastor's like, what's so funny, guys? What's so funny? And, my wife's over there elbowing me. There were 6 inches between us, but it was like an air elbow, if you know what I mean. And I remember thinking, oh, I dodged a bullet. This is unbelievable. I can't believe I brought this movie into pastor's house and it swore. Good thing, we got past this. about 5 seconds later, that mouse did it again. He dropped the same word again, and this time Pastor heard it. He stood up and he said, "We are not watching this movie in this house." And he goes over and turned off the TV, and I sat there. You talk about an awkward situation. How do you recover from that? There really is no way of recovering from that. And I remember thinking, oh no, he's going to pick me up and throw me out of the house. He's going to kick me out of the Christian school. I'm going to be excommunicated from the church. I will never get to talk to his daughter again. And an amazing thing that he showed some grace and mercy there. But you know, the truth is, we become so comfortable with sin, don't we? I think for the most part, if we were to be watching programming today and something were to come on, we might just think, oh, you know what, not that big of a deal. If it keeps doing it, then maybe we'll... Why? Because there is a progression of sin. It starts with just a casual association where we're around it, and all of a sudden, next thing we know, where it goes from a walking to a standing to a sitting. The Bible says, "Blessed is the man that separates himself from sinful influence." I find, secondly, though, the blessed man is the one who delights in the law of the Lord. The Bible says, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." That word delight means a genuine pleasure, desire, or longing. You see, it's not a drudgery to read your Bible. Amen. It's not something we do to check it off the list, to say, hey, I read my Bible today so I can get through the list, and all right, 15 minutes, that's probably what I can do. No, the Bible says that the blessed man, the man who that is truly happy, is someone who delights in the law of the Lord, meaning they love the Word of God. They wake up in the morning, I get to read God's Word today. It's not a chore. It's not a task. It is the delight of my life to open up the Word of God and to read in it. Amen. That day and night gives the idea, it's a Hebrew idiom that means continually or constantly, that we are constantly in the Word of God. We are constantly meditating on it. To meditate means to mutter, to murmur. It gives the idea to speak under one's breath. The thought here is that as we read the Word of God, it's so planted in our hearts and in our lives that we're thinking about it all day long. We're meditating upon it. It's having such a profound influence on us that it begins to come out in our vocabulary. We talk about it. We're sharing it with others. We're beginning to sing about it. Why? Because the power of the Word of God is coming from in here, out here. I wonder, church family, this evening, do we love the Word of God? Not do you read your Bible, because I would hope that we all take time to read our Bible, but do we love the Word of God? Is there a desire? Is there a passion for it? That we wake up, I literally cannot wait to read my Bible, to see what God has in store for me on the pages of this holy book. I'm always amazed. There are many men in this church that I love to talk with. And the reason I love to talk with them, because at the edge of their tongue is always something about the Word of God. Hey, Brother Chris, I was reading yesterday and God showed me this. Hey, have you ever seen how God connected this and this? It's real to them. Why? Because they are delighting in the law of the Lord. See, as Christians, here's the idea, that we are to refuse or to separate the world and embrace the Word of God. That as we turn from the philosophy and the ideas and the sinfulness of this, it is a turning to embrace the Word of God and the truth of who God is and what He wants for each and every one of us. The Word of God, can I say, is sufficient for the child of God. Amen. See, what do you mean by that? It's all we need. Amen. It's everything. There is no extra, there's an extracurricular source of wisdom or philosophy or help that the child of God needs. It's all in here. It is there for the taking. We can read it and we can study it and we can glean upon it. Why? Because the Word of God is sufficient for the child of God. It's sufficient for our salvation. That as we read the Word of God, we find that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It is sufficient for salvation. Can I say it's also sufficient for sanctification? That as we grow in the Lord, as we study His Word, the Holy Spirit does a work molding us and growing us into what Christ desires for us. In John 17, 17, it says this, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." There is no other truth. There is no other help for the believer but the Word of God. Can I say it shapes our mind? The Bible says in Romans 12, 2, "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." See, Scripture reprograms our mind how to think biblically, how to have the mind of Christ, how to discern what we see in the world through the lens of what God wants for every believer. Can I say it's the source of spiritual growth? In 1 Peter 2, 2, "As newborn babies desire the sincere milk of the Word, that they may grow thereby. The Word feeds the soul, and like food feeds the body." It promotes our growth in grace. It's the sword for spiritual warfare. It shines our path to God's will for our lives. It's our soul's delight. Amen. Psalm 119, 97, "Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day." Psalm 19, 10, "More to be desired are they than gold." Sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb is what? It's God's Word. Child of God, this evening, do you love the Word of God? Do you meditate upon the Word of God? Is it in your mind and in your heart where you're constantly thinking it over and over to the point it has to come out? It has to be shared with others. It has to be told to those who don't know. We must be people of the Word of God. The Bible says, "Blessed is the man that separates. Blessed is the man that is saturated in Scripture." The spiritual state of this blessed man is found in this verse, verse number 3. "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." See, this tree is alive. It's rooted. It's nourished. It's growing. It's healthy. It's producing fruit. And that is the picture of the life of the believer who is happy, who is blessed, not because of the things we have, not because of the country we live in, but because we have separated ourselves from the sinful influence of the world and we have saturated our lives in Scripture. We can then be blessed. We can then be happy. The tree, this life, is intentionally placed in a spot where it can be fed and nourished so that it can grow. Notice that it said, "He shall be like a tree planted." There's no accident it's there. It's not a wild tree. It has specifically been planted in the place where it can grow. And that's what God does to our lives when we obey His Word. When we turn from the philosophy of this world and the lifestyle of this world and we embrace and saturate our lives in the Word of God and we obey it, God takes our life and plants it in a place where we can grow. We could be nourished. The Bible says his leaf also shall not wither. See, a leaf is an evidence that a tree is alive. And when we are planted by the rivers of water, plural, multiple sources of strength, multiple sources of nourishment, and when we have that tree that shall not wither, when trials come in our life, that tree remains fruitful. Those leaves remain in place. Why? Because God has planted us there. A leaf that does not wither is a leaf that is evidence of life and health. In this picture, it never dries up or dies. It symbolizes endurance, spiritual vitality, and joy, even in adversity. "And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." This is not prosperity in the worldly sense. This is not a prosperity gospel that when we do these things, God is going to give us money in our bank account and we're going to have nice things and drive a nice car and live in a big house. That's not what the Bible's teaching. It is a spiritual blessing. It is that inner joy and peace and contentment that I know God. I am reading His Word. I have rejected the philosophy of this world and have embraced the things of God, and there is a peace There is a joy, there is a blessing that cannot come from any other source.
Amen.
Blessed is the man. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, or sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. I don't know about you this evening, but that's the blessing I want for my life. I want those spiritual blessings. I want that spiritual happiness where I can go through life on the winning side, on the victorious side, because God is pouring out His blessings on my life, not because I'm a good person, not because I do good things, but because the Word of God is true.
Amen.
And because He is faithful to the promises of His words. Those are the blessings that I want. That's the happiness I want. How do we experience the blessed life, the life of happiness that we find in Psalm 1? We find it by separating ourselves from the world, from the influence of the world, from the things of the world, from the lust of this world. And as we turn from it, we embrace and saturate our lives in Scripture. Because everything we need to live the Christian life is found in this book.
Amen.
May we meditate on it. May we delight in it. May we wake up tomorrow morning and say, Lord, I need truth from your word today. God, I want to spend time with you. God, I want to walk with you. God, I want to know you in a greater way. And how do we do those things? The word of God. It's sufficient for the believers. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed this evening. You know, in life, it's so easy to get busy. So easy to go day to day and to get enamored with the things of this world. How am I going to pay for rent? How am I going to put food on the table? I have all these work demands. I have all these different things going on. And if we're not careful, the Word of God becomes less of a priority in our lives. And sometimes something that we just do, we check it off a list. Okay, I read my Bible today. Let's move on. But God has so much more for us than that. God wants us to delight in His Word. He wants us to meditate upon it. He wants us to let it dwell in us so that it comes out of our minds and out of our mouths through our words and our songs and our deeds. I wonder this evening, as we look at our lives, do we need to separate ourselves from the influences of this world? Maybe we've become too careful with the influence of the world in our lives and in our homes and in our families. Perhaps we need to separate from them. Perhaps we need to fall back in love with the Word of God.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.